Hey, this is Ed Peterson.
And this is John Kiltica.
And this is the High Gain Podcast.
Yes, it is. We talk about guitars here.
Are you going to tell me about a guitar today, John?
I'm going to tell you about a pretty cool guitar today, Ed.
I love it. I love it. Where are we recording from, John?
Beautiful West Seattle, Washington.
It is beautiful. I walked up here from my house. It's nice because I only live like 2 blocks away from you.
Nice.
It's all uphill, though.
Yep.
80 degrees
yep.
in the shade.
Yep.
Uphill.
But yep.
It's beautiful. I took a selfie.
You got to take a selfie on a day like this because, you know, YOLO.
Right. That's exactly right. That's what I was thinking, actually.
Yeah. Hashtag YOLO.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
What is that beverage you got there, Ed?
Today I'm having a lovely San Pellegrino Clementina Italian tradition, it says.
I've got some coffee and then some emergency backup old beverages that have been sitting there for a couple days.
Yeah. Probably just leave those.
But it's water, so it's probably fine.
Great. Hey, that's a cool-looking guitar, John.
You like it? You want to hear it?
I do.
All right. Maybe I'll put on some of this.
And... Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what that is?
It looks like a Dan Electro.
It is.
There's a U2, right?
There is a U2.
Okay.
There is a U1, and this one happens to be a U3.
Oh.
So the number designation is how many pickups it has. The U designation?
Yeah.
I could not find anywhere what that's supposed to stand for.
This was not in the U2, like, plane era where it was named after a...
I wonder. Named after a spy plane?
Yeah.
Could be.
The U2, when was... Francis Powers?
Shot down, right?
Shot down over Mother Russia.
Yeah.
Our fearless leader. He's over there giving Putin a handy.
A handy. Yeah.
Francis Gary.
Yeah.
I looked it up. It's Francis first.
Francis Gary Powers.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Stripes, right? In Stripes where he's like...
It was.
Don't yeah. call me... Don't... No, don't touch my shit,
yeah.
maybe? And then
yeah,
the
and
guy's
then,
like...
Sergeant, lighten up, Francis.
You call me Francis, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was based on old Gary Powers.
Maybe.
And I don't like nobody touching my stuff.
Who knows?
But those Russians.
I don't know. Yeah. So is the Dan Electro a Russian guitar?
It is not a Russian guitar.
Okay. Was it made in the United States of America?
It was made in the United States of America.
God bless. God bless.
In my home state.
Jersey.
New Jersey.
Really?
These things were made in New Jersey.
Dan Electro, New Jersey. I'm not...
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Billy Dan Electro? Bobby.
Nathan I. Daniel.
Nathan Daniel.
Our man, Nat, was born in New York City.
Okay, great.
About a year after his parents arrived in this country.
From?
Lithuania.
Oh, okay.
And the Tsarist Russians,
mm-hmm.
they did not like Jewish people.
No.
So his parents were fleeing oppression in Tsarist Russia.
Yeah. It's a good thing we don't have immigration problems in the United States, and we are just taking these dispossessed people and just welcoming them.
Yeah, so Nat.
So the Dan Electro.
Yeah, so Nat is born in New York City.
Great. To some immigrant parents. I love it.
Yep.
Okay. Lithuanian. Hey, System of a Down. Aren't they Lithuanian?
Armenian? Or...
Oh, they're Armenian. Oh. Okay. So
1912.
1912, his parents come over.
He's born in 1912. His parents come over in 1911.
Oh, so they were banging on the boat or something.
Long crossing, you know.
Right, right. You know what they arrived to in America?
What?
Top Ramen.
How many noodles do you think are in that bowl of Top Ramen noodle soup?
Top Ramen was first packaged in 1912.
Really?
Yeah, so that's some good news for them.
That's really
college
great.
Kids forever have been thankful.
And me now.
The other day, I made some ramen, threw it in a pot, and then I added just a little soy sauce, and I added some broccoli and tofu, and I felt like a goddamn Iron Chef.
So this is great. So Nat is born into a world full of promise. Until it isn't.
Oh no.
When he's coming of age, old Nat.
1912. Isn't that when the goddamn Titanic sunk?
Oh, is it?
R.I.P. Leonardo DiCaprio. Right?
So when Nat is, let's say, 20.
Great Depression's coming
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Great.
So that was a little bit of a bummer. At the time he was in college, he had to drop out. Couldn't afford college, had to make money for the family.
Okay.
And for himself. Fortunately, he had him the math head.
Oh.
And he likes amplifiers and things and radio signals and all kinds of things. So he starts making amplifiers.
Okay.
And carrying them around, selling them.
Mm-hmm.
He sets up in his parents' place.
Yeah.
Decides to just say, let's have a company. We'll do it in mom and pop's place. And that's what he did. He called it Daniel Electrical Laboratories.
Oh, look at that.
He gets kind of lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the Depression. Epiphone guitars. At the time, they were the second largest guitar manufacturer outside of Gibson.
What about my guy Leo?
This is the 30s. There is no Leo.
Oh, okay.
It's Epiphone. They take notice, and he starts making amps for Epiphone.
Great.
It's working out for him. And he makes a name for himself.
Yeah.
He's making amps. Epiphone's selling them. Maybe he'll ride out this Depression thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Until it isn't.
Oh, no.
Because World War II sneaks up on us.
Sure. This dude, born right before World War I, as a young man, heads into World War II.
He manages to avoid the draft, you know.
Oh, bone spurs.
No, because of his math head. He knows all about the signals and the amps and the wires, and that's still kind of a nascent thing.
Sure.
So he turns into a civilian engineer / designer for the U.S. Army Signal Corps.
Oh.
He gets his invention on.
Okay.
And the invention is so important that he is excused from the draft because of how important it is.
Okay.
Well, they had a problem during World War II with signal interference being generated by anything else that generated electricity.
Sure.
Like a Jeep's motor.
Okay.
So you're on a battlefield or near a battlefield and you're driving your Jeep. That thing's generating electrical signals you can't hear on the walkie-talkie. It's jamming crucial battlefield communications. So our man Nat, he devises a way to shield the whole goddamn vehicle.
Shield the vehicle.
Shields the whole vehicle so the vehicle will not interfere with communication.
Sounds like he's making science shit up.
If you're on the battlefield and you're like, holy shit, we need backup, and there's some dude sitting in a Jeep saying, say that again, I didn't catch that.
Right.
Can you hear me now?
That's not good.
Saving Private Ryan, that's a pretty good movie.
So he comes out of World War II on that kind of a high.
Sure.
In 1947, he moves to Red Bank, New Jersey. Moves his whole operation down the shore.
Great. Okay.
And that is in 47 when he decides Daniel Electrical Laboratories shortens it to Dan Electro.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Nat is really on the ball.
Yeah.
He's making amps.
47, making amps. Is he a guitar player?
Can't play a lick.
Really?
Doesn't play at all. But he did a lot of innovative things that nobody else had done at the time. Have you ever played a tube amp that has tremolo built into it?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar with that effect. Yeah.
Nat invented that.
No shit.
The first amp to have tremolo in it.
What's this guy's name? Danny?
Nat.
Nat Danielson?
Yeah, Nathan Daniel.
Okay.
So now he's no longer in Dan Electro, New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He has moved to Dan Electro, New Jersey.
Okay.
Down the shore there. He continues catching people's eyes because he gets two very lucrative contracts.
Okay.
One with Sears, one with Montgomery Ward.
Yes.
Hey, Nat, would you make amps for us? Why, yes,
right.
I will.
Right.
And so he did.
Remember getting the Sears and the Pennies catalog at Christmas time.
Yes.
And just dog-earing the fuck out of that thing and just looking through the catalog.
Looking at the guitars and the amps.
For weeks and weeks. It was crazy.
I can remember looking at every single guitar and amp in those catalogs.
The guitar section was usually like 3 or 4 pages, right? Like not a ton.
Not very much.
In comparison to, you know, the toys in the back.
Yep.
You're getting into the territory where you're outside of what I know about the Dan Electros.
Awesome.
That was about what I knew. I didn't know it was Nathaniel Daniel, but keep going.
So Nat is doing this for Sears and Montgomery Ward, each of which have their own house brands. If it is Sears,
Silvertone.
If it is Montgomery Ward,
Dan Electro, Silvertone, and
Airline.
Oh.
And so what if it is just Dan Electro?
Yeah.
Those are the ones he sells directly to music stores.
Right.
This guitar that says Dan electro on it would have been sold to a music store somewhere.
He made the airline guitars. See, I didn't know that.
Now, where most people start trying to fill a market niche that's about not being shitty guitars, but not being the super high end, people are just like crunching numbers trying to position themselves.
Right, right.
Our man Nat appears to have an honest interest in the kids like you and me that were looking through the Sears catalogs.
Right.
These are working people.
Right.
Like he grew up. How can he make an instrument that is as cost-effective as possible, good enough to not discourage a new player, a kid,
right,
from continuing?
Sure.
He had a vested interest in making something that kids could enjoy and learn on.
Okay.
Which is probably why so many people are fond of these things. I think everybody remembers seeing them as a kid.
Yep.
To that degree, he succeeded.
I have heard a lot of people say you should start by playing on a shitty acoustic to learn on and figure out if you want to play. And I think that is the most terrible advice you can give to someone new. Man, if the guitar fights you at every turn.
That is a statement that is true. If qualified, I would say not shitty, less expensive. And the caveats are it needs to stay in tune.
Yep.
And the action needs to be reasonable for hands that are not yet strong enough to hold down strings.
Exactly.
If you do that, then yeah, it could be plywood or whatever.
Sure.
It's like the person's going to still enjoy playing it.
Yep.
So that's what Nat did. I said 50?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, I lied. 54.
Okay, 54. As a just great wash of like the 50s in America, ugh. No thanks.
Listen to this sound, Ed.
Yep. Yeah.
What do I have on that guitar?
You've got some reverb on that.
Right. By 1954, Nat had invented...
reverb in an amp?
Yes.
That's... Really?
It's called a reverb device for the guitar.
Okay. Tremolo and reverb. I have no reason to doubt anything you say to me. Well, I do have reason to doubt things you say to me because a lot of stuff you say to me turns out to be bullshit. So,
oh, sure, sure.
You know.
Yeah, pay attention, listeners. we make no warranties or express claims on this podcast.
That's correct. Do I find it hard to believe that Dan Electro invented, that Nat invented reverb and tremolo?
I cannot say the effects. I am qualifying by saying tremolo in an amp.
Okay.
And reverb device for a guitar.
He could have made the first, like, spring reverb tank or something. Like, sure, why not?
Maybe. What seems to be a pattern for Nat is that he was an extremely creative thinker this way.
Okay.
He went on to get multiple patents and think of new ideas and implement them, some of which he didn't even bother getting patented.
Okay.
The guy just thought of stuff all the
time.
Yeah,
yeah. Real fair use kind of guy.
So, 54, he's making solid body guitars.
Yeah.
Silver tone for Sears.
Yep, yep.
Airline for Montgomery Ward.
Yeah.
Dan Electro for the music shops.
Okay.
And it's doing really great. You could walk into Sears.
Yeah.
And walk out.
With a guitar and an amp.
Yeah.
In one.
The cost.
Yeah.
Of a Dan Electro guitar.
Yeah.
Or silver tone was about a quarter. Anything else even near it in 54.
I don't know that that surprises me very much.
I'm just thinking again of all the blue collar parents. And
right.
The kids like, oh, I want to learn how to play guitar. Yep. Oh, crap.
A grand in the 50s? Are you nuts?
Oh, what cost a grand in the 50s? There's no guitar that cost a grand in the 50s.
Maybe not, but they cost, what, $600, $700?
1954 money, right. Let's just say like $300.
Yeah, yeah.
A quarter of that is pretty fair.
Sure, but those guitars are light. It's not that they feel like toys exactly, but there is a huge difference between picking up a 50s Dan Electro and a 50s Les Paul or Strat.
And the massive difference is the materials. The top and the back of a Dan Electro was actually Masonite.
Okay.
And the inside is hollow.
Yep.
It's just placed on a frame that's built out of poplar. We've talked about that. Bolt a neck onto it. There you go.
So that thing's hollow.
Mostly. I imagine where the pickups connect or where the bridge screws in, there's got to be some bracing or a block or something for strength. But
yeah,
that's all there is to that. The pickups
are
the famed lipstick pickups.
Yeah, they're cool.
A lot of lore around these. Some people say, oh, the pickup cases were war surplus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or that he went directly to Max Factor.
Okay.
To get them
actual lipstick. Yeah. Okay.
But, well, they are actual lipstick tubes, but he didn't go to Max Factor or anything. He went to the company that manufactured and distributed them wholesale. Just some factory that bangs out lipstick cases.
No
shit. And he bought them the same way that like Max Factor would have bought them. Hey, order me 10,000 more of those from the warehouse. And
they're actual lipstick.
They are. And there are concentric knobs on these.
Yeah.
That are very simple.
So yeah, there's no pickup selector on that thing.
Nope, this is a U3, I should say, if I haven't already.
You have.
I have.
You have said that, but say it again.
This is a U3.
Okay, great.
Three pickups. Controls are very simple. Three concentric knobs.
Three banger.
Yeah, three banger. One half of the knob is on and off.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
The other half is volume. So you pick your pickup.
Yep.
And turn it up or down, depending on how you want to blend those sounds. We've talked about the Richter scale.
Yeah, yeah. A Fender Telecaster Deluxe, that comes in at 10.2.
The Dan Electro lipstick pickups?
Yep.
4.7.
Woo!
So they're pretty low.
Woo!
They're pretty low.
Turn some stuff on. Let me hear some things. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yep. Yeah.
It's pretty nice, huh?
Yeah.
And the neck, nothing fancy there. Three tuners on the side. Easy to describe for our radio fans. The shape of the headstock is called Coke bottle.
Yep.
Imagine that. If you can't, then look it up.
Yep. Look it up, assholes.
Yeah. The U3 doesn't have it, but some of the other and later Dan Electros had a little hole in the back where you could put a wrench in there and adjust the tilt on the neck.
Sure. We talk about this a lot.
We talk about this a lot with Fender and other people.
Yep.
Guess who invented it?
Nat did it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What's he up to these days?
I don't think he patented it. What's Nat up to these days?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
No. When did we lose him?
Nat lived a pretty long life.
Okay.
We lost him in 94. He was 82.
That's a good run. Nat had a good run.
Yeah. And all indications were that he was just a really nice guy.
Stand-up dude. How many wives did he have?
One.
One wife.
Do you know those longer baritone guitars that were like sometimes known as basses, but they were really kind of baritone guitars, and they would be used for what was called tic-tac bass?
Okay.
So you'd palm mute and go...
Sure.
Nat invented that.
The bass.
Six-string bass.
Man, this guy is just cranking them out.
This guitar here,
yep,
the U3.
1958
U3. Yeah, there's some confusion as to whether the introductory year for this particular one was 56 or 57.
Okay.
In any event, this is a pretty rare guitar. They didn't make many of them.
Really?
Just a couple of years.
Okay.
And this is in the even rarer copper burst finish.
It's cool.
Yeah.
The finish is pretty great. I mean, it looks really nice. If you looked at it close, you would know. But it looks like one of those newer reissued Dan Electros.
Sure.
It's in that kind of shape.
And it's worn in all the right places.
Yeah. Like
we were fortunate enough to borrow this guitar from our friend Frank at Thunder Road Guitars.
Oh, Frank.
Yeah.
I did not go with you. What's Frank up to?
Having guitars.
Letting you take 60-year-old guitars just off the wall, and that's great. Frank's a good guy.
So if anybody likes the sound of this Dan Electro from 1958 with three pickups, go to thunderroadguitars.com.
Yeah.
For the astute among you who have noticed that I am rocking a reverb pedal in addition to my normal distortion, that is for a reason. Early, mid, late 50s, it was kind of rockabilly, doomy kind of...
That mid-50s doom billy loves.
It was the Norwegian doom billy.
Yeah. Okay.
You know Link Wray?
I do.
Link Wray had a song called Rumble. He loved the Dan Electros. It's mostly all he ever played.
Yeah.
And he used the reverb a lot. That's why I put that up there.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
I do. Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Right? This is in the Pulp Fiction soundtrack, I
think it might be.
Yeah. Totally. And that's a Dan Electro.
That is. That is a Dan Electro, and that song, 58.
Wow.
That's from the year this came out. Yeah. And he wasn't the only one doing that. Dwayne okay. Eddy.
It is crazy to me that these dudes were buying Sears guitars and then recording just like classics with them.
People were really enamored of the lipstick pickups, yeah. which is really funny because it's nothing special. It's just an Alnico bar magnet wrapped up. And you know sure. what they would do to protect that whole thing inside the lipstick casing? They just wrap tape around it. So, Dwayne Eddy.
Okay.
Rebel Rouser.
Okay.
Same year.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're hearing that thinned out kind of...
Kind of. Yeah, that reverb. You know, it just sounds like it was recorded in a huge room.
Yeah.
It just sounds like, yeah, that's cool. Okay.
And they go on like that for years, and...
Dwayne Eddy? What's he recording these days?
What's Eddy recording?
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
Okay.
But he's still around.
Oh, how about that? My guy. What about my guy Link? Oh, no.
Yeah, 2005.
Really?
We lost. Yeah, he was born in 1929. And he's making friends, and people are picking them up, and he knows a lot of session cats in and around New York City because of his proximity to them. And
Nat does,
yeah. Okay. So he's able to get these things in the hands of these people.
Okay.
And that's why it's doing so well.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. But
one of the people he knows is a guy named Vinnie Bell.
Oh, this Whoa. Guy.
Vinnie Bell.
Yep.
Who was born in 1935 and is still alive.
Born in 35, still alive. Okay.
Vinnie becomes interested not only in the guitars, which he is playing along with these other guys, but Vinnie's got a notion to help Nat. Maybe they go way back. I don't know.
Nat's a good guy. Vinnie wants to help him.
Yeah, so Vinnie's helping him design, flesh out new ideas.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those sitar guitars?
Yeah. Yes. Those are cool.
That is a Nat jammer.
Nat or Vinny?
Both of them.
Okay. Nat yeah. and Vinny.
Vinny went out and was using it and promoting it. They did that under their Choral line.
Okay.
67, that's firing up, but okay. not before Nat sells the company. In 66, he sells it to MCA.
He had a sinus infection.
He was looking to mellow out some, but couldn't completely remove himself, obviously. Okay. He stayed on as president.
Oh, okay.
He's still designing things with our man Vinny. The Belzuki.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the silver tone, the amp in the case.
Yeah.
You know who invented that?
Nat?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, like, of course.
The whole amp in the case, that was Nat.
That's great.
Did he patent that? No. What's happening now? We're getting into the hippie zone.
Some real hippy-dippy bullshit going on over there.
Yeah, listen to this.
Yeah. Man, you know what I want? Like, oh.
Can you tell me who that was?
I don't know who that is.
This is Pink Floyd.
You know,
I didn't want to predispose you.
That thing in the beginning, whatever that, what's that,
that
noise?
Tinkly, that, whatever.
Yeah, like some, that. Yeah, no guitar. Just strip the guitar and just let me hear that oscillating bullshit.
So maybe they were doing more inventive things when Syd Barrett was still around.
That
sounded oddly contemporary to me.
Oddly contemporary, and then the guitar starts. You lost me.
We lost Syd, too.
What are you going to do?
69, they closed down Dan Electro.
Oh, no shit. Really? Yeah.
When they sold it to MCA?
Yeah.
MCA had the bright idea.
Uh-huh.
We should market exclusively to music stores. Oh, all the people that are buying these hand over fist from department stores?
Yeah. Fuck that market.
Yeah. Their money's not good or something? I don't know what.
Back in the day, every town on the corner had a Montgomery Ward, Sears.
Yeah, I remember going to get my back to school tough skins at Sears. With my mom.
Yeah, that seems pretty cool.
My Huskies and my tough skins.
I like the Wranglers. Wrangler butts drive me nuts, you know? You know about that?
I do now.
Yeah.
I can't unhear that.
Right.
Fortunately, doesn't keep musicians from continuing to love them and use
MCA,
them.
MCA, the music company.
Yeah, yeah, that's them.
Dipshits.
But people keep playing them.
Okay.
I have some examples for you.
I'm ready.
Kashmir.
I cannot wait. I love it. I've made some disparaging Led Zeppelin comments in the past as well. But the thing with Led Zeppelin is, man, those guys, there are high highs and some low lows. But man, they're good songs. Are so good.
Yeah.
In my brain, I knew that Jimmy Page played those on a few albums, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that was 70s. Fabulous.
Great.
80s?
Who is this?
Flat Duo Jets. Ever hear of them?
I thought this was going to be one of those quizzes where I like, oh, I should have known that was.
No, no.
Fill in the blank. No, Flat Duo Jets, no.
1990, listen to this.
Ooh.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, but I can't. Who is it?
This is the theme song. Twin Peaks, the TV show.
I'm like, I totally know this, and I could not. Is that...
And that's a Dan Electro.
Yeah.
And you know who's playing the Dan Electro on that? It's our man, Vinnie Bell.
Oh, no shit.
Our man, Vinnie Bell, is playing on the Twin Peaks soundtrack all these years later.
And he's still playing Dan Electros.
And he's still playing Dan Electros.
That is great.
And he's still got his electric sitar that he helped Nat invent. Speaking of Southern culture on the skids... Hear that Dan Electro tone?
Yep.
It really does have a unique sound.
It, like a lot of these things have been really overdriven, you know?
Yeah.
Like it just sounds like you get that out of the guitar, that kind of crappy, shitty tone.
Yeah.
You get it just like, that's your by default setting, you know?
Yeah.
Which is cool, which I love it.
And it totally has its use, doesn't it?
Well, the thing you alluded to was they also play really nice, or he put some quality into it so you could give it to a kid and the action wasn't all jacked up.
Uh-huh.
And that guitar plays great.
There's a reason for that, too.
Yeah?
The neck.
Uh-huh.
The fretboard on the neck is Brazilian rosewood. They didn't just cut
rosewood
and slap it on there. They slapped it on there first because Nat knew that he was going to want that fretboard within a certain tolerance so the action would be nice and low. But it's not very cost effective to put a slab of rosewood on there and then have somebody sit there and sand it down until it's the right height and even all the way across. So they had a machine that you could take the neck with the raw piece of rosewood on it and clamp it into this machine.
Oh.
And the machine would cut it and sand it down to the exact place it needed to be.
Right.
No such machine ever existed before because Nat invented it.
This guy.
Nat invented the machine that would, in a cost effective manner, create the low neck.
We haven't gotten into it, right? Because this dude was doing weird shit in the 40s when he started with his electronics and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I feel like that thing you're talking about is just the kind of ingenuity that was born out of the Great Depression when people could not throw a goddamn thing away and they could not waste anything. And some really ingenious shit gets born out of poverty and despair.
You grow up thinking there's got to be a use for this.
Right.
Or I'll use it later, or I'll think of something, or I need to think of something.
Right.
What do I have that can do this?
Yep.
By all indications, that's what Nat was about. Yay, Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, despair.
Yeah.
Hooray. Hooray, depression.
Yeah. As mentioned, 94, Nat leaves us.
Yeah.
He was 82.
But
you know what he was doing at the time he left?
Probably inventing weird shit.
He had since retired and moved to Hawaii.
Oh!
He was living out his life in Hawaii.
That's great.
You know what he invented?
He probably invented the paddleboard.
No. Dude. He invented a large commuter-size catamaran.
Did you hear that popping noise? That was my ankle.
He noticed there was no commuter service by boat in between the islands of Hawaii.
Okay.
The seas apparently are notoriously rough, so he invented a large kind of catamaran-type commuter vessel that would be exceedingly stable in choppy waters.
Huh.
The only way at that time to get between the islands was to fly. He went about trying to get funding for this. Never did.
I've been to Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Late 1990s.
Yeah.
The Evitts Corporation.
Uh-huh.
Buys the name, Dan Electro. Let's bring it back.
What was the year? Hit me again.
Late 90s.
Late 90s, yeah. Late 90s. There was a pretty big surf revival.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of those surf dudes played Dan Electro. Like our guy, Brian Wallace.
Right.
Primate 5 and the Cripples and whatnot. I think those dudes
well,
were
and there was also
a
market. Do you remember the Jerry Jones guitars?
Yes.
They were highly regarded out of Nashville, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe this all adds up, the type of music being played, the
right.
fact that there's a manufacturer making these things to meet demand.
Yep.
Our guys at Evitz maybe think, okay.
Let's get on this.
Yeah. 2002?
Yeah.
Our man Elvis.
Yeah.
He's playing Dan Electro.
Great. There it is.
Late 90s, that's when the Evitz took over.
Yep.
2004, they stopped selling guitars.
Of course.
They want to concentrate on the shitty-ass effects. In 2006,
yeah.
Evitz themselves sell.
Okay.
They don't sell Dan Electro, they sell themselves.
Right, right. So, of course.
So there are new owners of Evitz.
Yeah.
Evitz is under new management.
Right.
They take the decision to only make a limited amount of guitars every year.
That seems like a good decision to me.
I don't know if that means limited amount in number or limited series. Let me play a little more on this
thing. Okay, do it.
Let's see, I'll put some of the...
Yeah, put some of that on there. Oh. Yep.
Should I try some different pickup-y things? Like, should I go more trebleizing? I'll take out the middle pickup.
Okay.
How about that?
Sure.
I'll take out the neck pickup.
Okay.
Yeah, a little more.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, it feels like, you know, I know this isn't exactly the case, but surf guitar and rockabilly are kind of where that thing seems to shine.
I wonder if it would be good in like...
I don't know. I'm going to Europe in a little bit here. We're probably going to have to record a couple ahead of time.
Yeah.
But I was looking up luthiers in Paris and London and pedal shops.
Cool.
There's one closer to Nice in France that I kind of want to go to.
That would be pretty cool.
It'd be great. Put my beret on and have a baguette and a little cigarette and maybe go visit the shop.
Well, okay. Then I look forward to hearing back about that, Ed.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be pretty good.
Hey, where can people find us on the internet, John?
You can go directly to the website, thehighgain.com.
Okay. Can they go to Facebook?
Oh, sure. They can go to Facebook. They can go to Twitter. They can go to Instagram.
Man.
All over the place.
We got our bases covered. You guys should totally write to us at thehighgainpod@gmail.com.
We love the questions.
We do. We're kind of getting flooded with them, and it's a little hard to keep up. But just send them in anyway, and we'll get to them.
Yep.
That'll be great.
And we will lovingly craft responses.
Nice.